the I want to focus today on one pasuk, the last pasuk of Revi'i. It's a pasuk, you know, the Revi'i is the culmination of the birth of Yaakov and his wife's children, including Yosef. At the end of the Aliyah, after Yosef is born, and to keep in mind, Yaakov now has been living in Lavan's home for 14 years, and he turns to Lavan and he says, "Vayhi kasher yalda Rachel et Yosef, vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, shalcheni ve'elchal mekomi ularzi. Send me, let me go home. I've done my time. I have kept my word. I've worked for your two daughters. I have built a family, and it's time for me to go home. Tanat nashayit iladaya sheravarti avati yotcha behen ve'elecha ki ata yadata et avodati asher vaticha. Let me go home. You know what I've accomplished. You know what I've done. It's time to say goodbye." And I want to focus not on that, but on Lavan's response. And Lavan says the following to Yaakov. Vayomer elav Lavan, imna matzati chen be'enecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, nichashti vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha. Four very enigmatic words. Nichashti vayivarcheni Hashem, and he uses Shem Hashem, biglalecha. Nichashti, I'll leave for translation in just one moment. And God, whatever nichashti means, and God has blessed me because of you, Yaakov. And with that, the Aliyah ends. It will continue next, the Chamishi, for tomorrow, is a little bit of a negotiation. What will it take you, Yaakov, to stay here with me? But the fact that the Aliyah ends with this idea, Nichashti, and God has blessed me because of you, I think is significant. What's this Nichashti? If you take a look in the Parshanim, you'll see that there are really two different approaches. And the Ramban brings both of them. Rashi, when he talks about Nichashti, Minachesh Hayiti. I was a sorcerer. After all, Lavan, we are going to see in another couple of aliyot, in Shishi and Shvi'i, he's going to be desperately looking for his trafim. He's going to be looking for those gods, those idols, those soothsayer tools that he had been working with all of his life, perhaps. And which Rachel, for reasons which we won't get into, decides to take with her. This is a man who is a man of Haran. He is a man of that culture. He's a man of those beliefs. Nichashti, I have used my soothsayer tools, and I know that God has blessed me because of you. The Ramban quotes this idea, and he doesn't necessarily disagree with it, but he follows another approach. He says, Nichashti means nisiti, from nisayon, from testing, from empirical evidence. The Ramban says, I'm looking at my life over the last 14 years, Yaakov, and I see how my life has improved considerably because of you. Since you've been in this household, my life has changed, Lavan says. And because of that, nichashti, I have empirical evidence, nisiti. And you are the cause for this. I don't want you to leave. Now these two different approaches of nichashti is Lavan being the man who's taking a look at the evidence and trying to perhaps change his course, After all, he says, "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha." God has blessed me. Not "Vayivarcheni," that I have been blessed, and leave it open as to who the blessing is being given by. Perhaps my gods, perhaps your God. No, it's Hashem who is bringing this along. Or is he still stuck in his old paradigms of Nichashti, I'm the soothsayer, and I can perhaps even manipulate God himself along the lines of what we'll see in a couple of, in a few svarim away, when Bilam thinks that he can do something along the same lines. Who is Lavan? And Lavan is a person who is incredibly developed within the text. He's spoken about, he does a lot of speaking, and we're going to see how at this moment, this juncture, we're not sure who Lavan will be. But as I said earlier, wait another perek or two, and we find out what Lavan becomes. He's the man who's looking for his trafim. He's the man who will turn to Yaakov, the same man who just said, "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha." 6 years later, when Yaakov and his family are on the run to escape Lavan, to get back home, he'll look Yaakov in the eye after having been spoken to by God in a dream. He'll look Yaakov in the eye and say, "Habanim banai v'habanot benotai v'chol asher ata roeh lihu." Everything you see is mine. The "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha" has long been forgotten. Lavan makes his choices. And his choices are not the choices that we would say we would recommend by any means. But at this moment, at this juncture, he can make another choice. He can say, you know, everything that I've had until now has been in a world of nichush, of nechashim, of soothsayerhood, and that has been my old life. And now I have changed and I have a life of nichashti, of empirical evidence, that I take a look at what the world is like and I see that it's because "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha," and I can go in a completely different direction. We get caught up in our paradigms. Lavan apparently got caught up in his own paradigms. He wasn't able to break that idea that he had had for so long of his nechashim, of his soothsayerhood, of his idolatry, of his superstitions, of his manipulation of the world. He wasn't able to break out of those paradigms. We, on the other hand, are expected to break out of those paradigms. Yaakov himself is going to have a paradigm shift in the next aliyah, but I'm not going to talk about that, Yaakov's paradigm shift right now. We are supposed to look at the world and ask ourselves, okay, what do I see? And ulai, "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglalecha." You know, we are of a generation, or generations, as I stand here, where the paradigms have been shifted. And we have been living in a new paradigm to the extent that we forget what the old paradigm was. Last year there already was. So I'm guessing there probably is a person here. You think about yourselves right now. Okay? Ask yourselves, how many of you have grandparents, who were born after World War II. Okay, several hands have gone up. Okay, which means the following, that you are a third, those people who raised their hands. Everyone else is just second, right? Third generation of people who have been growing up with a paradigm of the state of Israel as being a reality. Right? Three generations already. That is our paradigm. Right? That the we have moved away or moved into a new reality, paradigm shift. But I'm a second generation in terms of being the child of a survivor. And to think of the paradigm shift that overtook the world, the Jewish world especially, between 75 and 80 years ago, is, and the total change that has occurred because of that and since then, is something that is, every time I think of it, is just mind-blowing. And to think of the people who came out of it is only awe-inspiring. Now, I'm standing in front of a parochet. And it's a parochet which you have passed this year, since you've come to the yeshiva, right? Hundreds, literally hundreds of times. And my guess is that you have probably never read the small print on the parochet. If you take a look at the parochet, you'll see, and it's also on just about all of the covers of the different Sifrei Torah here in the yeshiva. I'll get to that in a moment. So you'll see a remarkable testimony. It's the parochet here is dedicated in the memory first to Rav Shmuel ben Rav Shlomo Cohen Kleiman, whose yahrzeit is today on Vav Kislev, and his wife, who was my aunt, my mother's sister, and then to his family. His family, who all, just about all, perished in the Shoah. His two parents, his six siblings, all who died. And as a young man, a survivor himself, he comes, leaves Europe, makes his way to America with nothing, and has to build a new life. And what do you do in that life? Your paradigms, everything that you've known, is gone. What do you do? What is your nichashti at that moment? You look around and you see people who have the other survivors who take a total turn away from their old life. You have people who are struggling to find just to get back on their feet. What do you do under those circumstances? And so my Uncle Alex built a new life in America, in Miami Beach. Not only did he become a successful business person, having several small hotels on the beach, but he became basically a core pillar in the building of the Jewish community in Miami Beach. It was nothing. If you go now to Southern Florida, as many of you have been, so you know what that community has become. But when he was there, when he first came, there was nothing. And it was through his work, along with work of many other people like him, but sometimes he alone, who put Jewish education on its feet in Southern Florida. Take a look again at the dates. You'll see that his wife, my aunt, passed away at a very young age. And he was left with four children, between 10 and ages 10 and 20, and he continued to raise them. And they now are people who are pillars of their own communities, whether it's here in Eretz Yisrael, or it's in various communities in the States. People look at their world and ask themselves, nichashti, I look at my world. I look how my world has changed. My paradigms, all of our paradigms, at one point or another, are going to change and be impacted. Be'ezrat Hashem, nothing like what occurred 80 years ago should ever come close to that kind of paradigm shift. But on a personal level, we all have those moments. And we have to ask ourselves, what direction am I going to be taking right now? Am I going to be governed by the biases? Am I going to be governed by those tracks that have been always the patterns that I've always looked at? Or am I going to be looking at the world from a different perspective? And I'm going to say, I've always had this kind of view, but now I can look at the world differently and understand things from a very different level. One of the aspects, if you will, the paradigm shift that perhaps indirectly, perhaps directly, that my Uncle Alex was really responsible for is Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi. Because not quite 17 years ago, it was in May of the year before, and we hadn't quite reached the number of students that we had set as our minimum number in order to open up the doors of the yeshiva. And we were debating, should we open up the yeshiva? Shouldn't we open up the yeshiva? We had set a goal of 15 students as being our minimum number. We were at 12 or 13 at that point. We weren't sure, did we have enough to get started? And I got a call. My uncle was still alive at that point, but my cousin called me up, and she asked me if this new yeshiva that we were trying to get off the ground needed a Sefer Torah. Because in all those hotels that he'd had, they over the years they had closed, the business had transformed itself, and each one of them had a Sefer Torah or two. And she had these Sefer Torah, and one of them was already in Israel. And she wanted to know whether we needed a Sefer Torah. We had no Sefer Torah at that point. It wasn't our number one concern. How are we going to get a Sefer Torah? We didn't have a parochet. It wasn't this parochet. But she had, they had from their old shuls in the hotel. So she said, could you use them? So I said, yes, absolutely. And that was our paradigm shift. We took that moment as the siman, because it came out of the blue. That, yeah, Vayivarcheni Hashem Bigvalecha. That this should be an experiment, a nisayon, to use the Ramban's terminology, that Bezrat Hashem would have bracha v'hatzlocha. And so, 16 years plus years later, you're the evidence that nichush was the correct nichush. The Sifrei Torah of the yeshiva have been donated by the family. The parochet, the shulchan, etc., donated by the family. Take a look when you pass this parochet. Read the names. Today's limud is Li'ilui Nishmato. But it should also be Li'ilui Nishmat, all of his family, perished in the Shoah. Family has also, because of their understanding of the complexity of learning and how one needs to dedicate oneself, so, and in the firm belief that Ein Kemach Ein Torah, so they've also dedicated and donated a special breakfast this morning. So in today's learning, have Rav Shmuel ben Rav Shlomo Cohen Kleiman in mind, and enjoy the rest of your day.